Praise the Lord. God is good. Going to the fourth chapter of Revelation. Now, as we have studied already, and many of us have studied this many times, but we are looking into the throne room here in chapter 4. Lord Jesus Christ has taken his throne, and of course that is yet in the future, because he's sitting at the right hand of God right now interceding for us. But one of these days, heaven's door will be opened, and all the overcomers will go. They'll hear the trumpet talking with them, telling them to come up hither. The trumpet will sound, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come and take us away. Notice in verse 1, there, the open door. God has made a door that is wide open for everybody that wants to be there in that place with him. We have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and walk with God and let him do this work in us. But it's an open door. Notice that. I just thought of that again and wanted just to emphasize that. Praise the Lord. So the door is open so that the overcoming believers can come through right into heaven. When Jesus comes back, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's going to come down, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Praise the Lord. And then over here in chapter 3, verse 10, he gave them a promise. Remember that Philadelphia church in Smyrna didn't have any faults found in them. And in this verse, he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which translates tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And of course, in this chapter, we see the overcomers with crowns on their heads. Praise the Lord. So, going on then into verse 1, that phrase there in the latter part of the verse, come up hither. See, the door is open, and one of these days we're going to hear that sound. In 1 Thessalonians 4 there it says that the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Jesus Christ will come again. And he's going to come, and that trumpet is going to sound, and Jesus' voice is going to say, come up here. Amen. And there'll be such power in that, that the ones who are watching and ready will just go. No matter where we are, no matter what time of day it is, if it's in the night, if it's in the daytime, if we're in our car, I have a little card that shows a bunch of wrecks because the Lord is there in the sky and he's calling all the people up there, and there's car wrecking. We don't know about that, but anyway, we know that the Lord is true, and his word is true. And then in verse 2, immediately he says, I was in spirit. In other words, his spirit was caught away into heaven, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And we know what that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ taking his place, his rightful place on the throne. And God, he's always sat by the right hand of God. During this whole church age, he's been sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us, the scripture says. But praise the Lord, one of these days he will have his own throne. Praise the name of Jesus. And so he's calling the believers that are watching and waiting for him to come up to be with him. Praise the Lord. And then notice, I wanted to mention this to you. If you read back in the book of Daniel, the seventh chapter, you see a lot about the end time there. And one of the verses, verse 9, it says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. And in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And that's what we're waiting for. Daniel, it's in Daniel. Isn't that amazing? And it's in the Gospels where Jesus talked about this. But praise the Lord. So he saw in the night vision, behold, like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And there was given unto him a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. So it's been, when we see this in chapter 4, it means that Jesus' reign has begun. Jesus' reign. Would that be something? He is sitting on his throne, and he's calling his bride, is actually who it is. It's the believers that have fully dedicated their life to God and walked with God, yield to God, and he gives us the power for that. It is in ourself. He gives us that power, and praise the Lord. He is sitting on the throne, and he calls these believers up to him. And then last week, we went ahead and went into about the 24 elders in verse 4. And we're just going to briefly review there. The word elder shown in verse 4, it says, around about the throne were 24. It says seats, but in the original it reads thrones. Okay, so here's the Lord sitting on his throne, and there are 24 thrones sitting around his throne. Praise the Lord. And sitting on them were 24 elders. Now, when we think of elders in a church, we think of people that should be spiritual, should be dedicated to the Lord. And often we will make them elders of the church. We pray over them, and they are the part of the whole thing and leading the church and all the things that elders do. Pastors have to be elders too. But these people that he's talking about here, it's just significant. Elder speaks of maturity, doesn't it? And we know that the Apostle Paul's teaching is that when we are going to be in this group of people, known as the bride of Christ later, but when they're first taken to heaven, they're not yet married to Christ. That will be later. And we find that in chapter 19. But these elders speak of maturity. They are people who have walked with God, who have yielded their life to God, and they're faithful in their love for the Lord and for the saints. And, you know, that's another aspect. If we don't get involved with other saints, we're not really fulfilling the Word of God. And God does lead us. We need to be thinking of their needs, of what we can do to help. Praise the Lord. God bless Jean to be there to help in the situation for the Dorshans. And I know all of you do a lot of different things for the saints, but it's important. When I say saints, everybody understands, don't we? We're talking about the people of God, not the saints that people make saints. But praise the Lord, the overcomers here are ones who are faithful and who have walked with God. And when that trumpet sounds, they're going to be gone. Going to be taken away, translated into the heavens. Glory to God. They have beautiful white raiment on, and they have crowns of gold on their head. And again, we review that back in chapter of Revelation, where it was talking about the churches, the Smyrna church and the Philadelphia church were the only two churches that had gold crowns. Now, there's no blame in any of those passages that we have there in that second and third chapter on these people from Smyrna, those that die in the Lord, those who are yielded to God and they pass away and they go to be with the Lord. What a ecstasy. Brother, our dear brother, going to the Lord, Brother Rick. It's what he desired. He wanted to do that. And he sees Jesus. Oh, wonderful. He sees God the Father. Oh, how we just don't understand it really, because we haven't experienced it yet. But all right, so we have the 24 elders. They represent overcomers of this church age. But now we're going into verse 4. It says, around about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And I told you that it should read the sevenfold, which is the sevenfold spirit of God. In other words, Holy Spirit has many different aspects. Okay, then beginning in verse 6, we have the subject of the living creatures. It says, before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. You know, the earthly tabernacle was made a lot like the heavenly. A lot of different things that coincide with heavenly things. So this sea of glass, like a crystal right in front of the throne, is sort of symbolic of the laver of the Old Testament, where the water was there. So this is like a sea of glass. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four, our New King James says, beasts, but the original says four living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. To be have your many eyes before and behind, it means they can see from the back and see from the front. It speaks of discernment. These people, they are people. These creatures, these beautiful, odd-looking creatures, are representative of the overcomers of this church age, which have discernment. They're spiritual. They love the Lord God. They follow the Holy Spirit. They're walking with the Lord. And they have eyes that are full of discernment. They have that in the natural life, too. Do you want to have discernment where you can discern whether the Spirit is in control or where it's flesh or other, many other things, then walk in the Spirit and yield to the Lord, and He will give you eyes that can see in full of discernment. He will. He's faithful. The Holy Spirit's quite involved in that too. Now there are four different kinds of these beasts. These, it calls them beasts there. We call them living creatures. But the first one was like a lion. And the second was like a calf. And the third one had a face as a man. And the fourth one was like a flying eagle. And I'm not going to go into it today, but why don't you at home, if you haven't read it, read Ezekiel, the first chapter. And you see that Ezekiel saw these living creatures, and they were moving around. They were very active, is what we get from that. Believers in Christ that are overcoming people and love the Lord with all their heart and are wanting to serve the others will be very active spiritually. They're very active spiritually. They're following the Spirit. They're following the Lord. And it shows them there moving all around in the heavens. Just shows that activity by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to go over these different kinds of things that we see here. First, they're handling later on, they'll be active. You'll see them all through the book of Revelation. One of the living creatures did so-and-so or said so-and-so. They're in and around the throne. They are the overcomers. The 24 elders and the four living creatures represent the full overcomers of this age. And you know what? You can't do this in yourself. You can't say, I'm determined, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be, you know, that, what does it take? It takes us falling on the Lord and asking Him to work His will, His delight in us. And we have to be willing, it's true, we have to be willing to say to the Lord, whatever Your will is, Lord, that's what I want in my life. Whatever, however You want to use me, You want to send me to Timbuktu, Lord, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing. You know, it's a yielding of ourselves to become these overcomers in Christ. And of course, they will in this group will be Apostle Paul and many other old New Testament people that really followed the Lord in their life. And it's gone on for all of these over 2,000 years now. We never thought it would take this long, but it has happened that we are over 2,000 years. So these elders and living creatures are spoken of in other places in Revelation. If you went through the book of Revelation, you'll see that they're always there helping the Lord do something. See, they haven't got married to the Lord yet. They'll get married in the 19th chapter, later in the time. But here they are doing the bidding of God. Whatever the Lord Jesus says to do, because he's the ruler, he's sitting on his throne, they're going to be in helping in all of these things, the living creatures and the 24 elders. Okay, so we have here that one, the first living creature was like a lion. To be like a lion speaks of strength and courage. We can't do that in ourselves. If you've ever tried it, I think you know you can't do it in yourself. You've got to be dependent upon the Lord and the new life of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit's power to help you to be full of strength and courage. In Proverbs 28:1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." So what does it mean? It means that overcoming people don't flee from the trouble and say, "Oh God, get me out of this, I can't stand it. Get me out of this," you know. We keep pursuing, we keep following the Holy Spirit and letting him work in our life and yielding to him so that everything that is done will be his work in us. And what is an interesting thing to me, there are four gospels. And this is a study in itself, but it is true. The book of Matthew shows Christ as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's got the genealogy clear back there to King David in chapter 1 of Matthew. At that time, there was a little building that sat in Jerusalem. I don't know how big it was, but it was a building. And it was where all of the genealogies were recorded. And when you question, well, how could a man like Matthew know the genealogy of Christ? He no doubt went there to that building and found it. Joseph was a stepdad, wasn't he? But if he had been the father of Jesus, he would have been exactly in line for the throne. And so God had it all fixed up. In Luke, the third chapter, we see that Mary, her genealogy, and it all goes back to another son of David named Nathan. So on both sides of it, he has the right to be the king, doesn't he? So when we see this living creature that is like a lion, and the Bible, Matthew shows Christ as a lion of the tribe of Judah, and he manifested boldness, didn't he? This word means strength, denotes strength and courage. And sure, he stood right up to things and was bold in what he did and what he said. And in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said when he was about ready to go or was on his way up, he said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." So what does that mean? If the overcomers are like lions, faithful and full of strength and courage and can go to battle, it speaks of that God has given the power. God has given the power. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Jesus said that. And that's the only power we've got that will overcome, will help us to overcome or even deal with situations that are so difficult. I've had a few, and God was always faithful to me, and every day he's faithful to me. He's just there with me all the time. Now, the second one that we see there was the second living creature was like a calf. A calf is a young bullock, but in the olden days, you know, they would take a calf that had no blemish or anything like that and sacrifice it. And it speaks of suffering and service. And a person who wants to overcome in Christ, you have to follow what Paul said. He said that if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. And the early church suffered horribly. And in the 1500s, the church suffered horribly. All the contractions that were made to just persecute Christians. Contraptions. Not contractions, but contraptions. All of those things that were created. Yet the Lord says, "I want you to be mild as a calf. I want you to be a sacrifice." And what does Paul say? That we give our bodies as living sacrifices. Romans 12:1, I believe. And so it shows Christ as the calf in Mark, in the book of Mark. In the very first chapter, verse 12 of the first chapter says that, speaking about Jesus, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, just like he was an animal. The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, because in the book of Mark, you can study this and it proves out. Mark presents him as the servant, the faithful servant. It's a glorious thing. So that's what the Lord wants of his overcomers, to be sacrificial, to be willing to serve others and all the ways that we can in any way. And it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to serve others. So Jesus was fully obedient, like a calf, like a livestock that's driven about. He was driven by the Holy Spirit, by God his Father, and by wanting to do the will of God, right? He was the faithful ox, and that's what he wants to work in us. And then the third one, like a man, Luke wrote his book. And he tells about the birth of Christ. The others don't really tell all the things, like Mary being spoken to by the angel, and here she is a virgin, and all of this. And then, you know, he's born. He presents Christ as the perfect human. He shows his human side. And he's called the Son of Man. And that's from the Old Testament, from the book of Daniel. So it proves that these living creatures are human beings, not angels. And we see that again. In fact, I want to just read that. You turn with me, if you have to turn, it's just on the next page of mine. But let's go over to verse 8 of chapter 5. When he had taken the book of the four living creatures, now this, but pardon me, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and you've redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. I heard a minister not too long ago on television. He said, I don't know what these are. I don't know, some kind of angelic beings. And I said, and you've heard me say this, I said, read on down, read on down. And he never did get there. So who are these 24 elders and living creatures? They are the born-again people of God who have walked with God and yielded to God and are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are going to be the bride of Christ. And if you stick with me, you'll understand more fully. I can't teach it all in one whack. But anyway, so going on there, we have another one. Like he was like a man, Luke showed him. Now the fourth one is a flying eagle. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle, a heavenly bird. We know that what strength an eagle has. It's tremendous, isn't it? It's a beautiful, beautiful bird. And in Ephesians 2:6, it says, He hath raised us up together, and he's made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are a heavenly people. We have been born again with a new birth. It's time very soon in the future here that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And he's going to take away those believers who are fully, what can we say, by being calf-like and man-like and lion-like and eagle-like. And that's like Christ is. He wants us to be like Jesus. And that is being worked in our life today. That's being worked in our life every day that we have to go on and on. I thank God for the work of God in my life. It's a wonderful thing. So, praise the Lord, a flying eagle. We are a heavenly people. And the book of John, the last one of the four Gospels, he doesn't give Jesus any, he doesn't even say anything about his birth. Very first part of it, he says, the Word was with God, and the Word is God. He is showing that flying eagle. He's from heaven, he's saying. Amen. See? And so, Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful that John chose him as Christ, as God's perfect son, one of the Godhead. Praise the Lord, the heavenly, divine one. You know what? Since we have the life of Christ in us, because we've been born again, we are heavenly people too. We have a heavenly side. And that's where we're going one of these days.
Amen.
We're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. So let's see there in our verses. Let's go on down to verse 8 of chapter 4. It says, the four living creatures and each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. Praise the Lord. So they had six wings. It shows that they are equipped to bear God's message, whether of grace or judgment, because they are going to be helping with the judgment. They can fly anywhere. Shows of the power of God in their lives, using that flying eagle part. And so they are going to be careful to be spiritual activities on, have been careful to do spiritual activities on the earth before they come up to heaven, and they will continue to do that in heaven. Praise the Lord. They will be constantly just doing Jesus' will. Whatever he wants to do, there they are. They're there. You can read the book and see. Every one of us can read the book. Isn't that something? So, and they cry out day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And we sang that song this morning. That's the song of the overcomers in Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. They are one group, really, but they show two sides of them, worshipers and rulers. And that will be the job of the bride of Christ in heaven. They will sit upon a throne next to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read that again in chapter 19 about the marriage supper and about how then they will come back in judgment at the end of the tribulation with the Lord Jesus Christ, riding on white horses. I don't think they're going to be literal, but, you know, that's what the word says. It'll be a powerful scene. Glory to God. And so they fall down and they worship him that sat on the throne. Praise the Lord. And notice they cast their crowns before the throne. Worthy art thou, Lord. You're the one that brought us here. We didn't do this in ourselves or our own power. You were the one that worked in us. To you is the glory and the honor. And isn't it interesting that Smyrna Church and Philadelphia Church are the only two of the seven that have crowns? The others are not given crowns. And there are no faults found in either one of those groups. Now, you and I are human, and we know we have faults, don't we? All of us do. As we begin to really walk with the Lord and yield to the Spirit of God, he begins to change us. And things that we once might have said or we might have done, they just don't have any place in our life anymore. And that's something to think about. If it's something you say, ask the Lord to take it away. He'll remind you every time. So, and anything else, you know, just be like these overcomers so that when you get there, you're going to have a crown and you can cast it down at Jesus' feet. That shows, I didn't do it, Lord. You're the one that did it in me. It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. What is our part? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's when we say, no, I can't stand that. Oh, you know, we feel like we're going to fall apart. I've had a few trials like that. But the Lord was always there and met me and raised me up. And that's how he wants to do for all of us here. He wants to have you and his group of overcomers that are going to be his bride. Praise the name of Jesus. How wonderful it is. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." And you know what? He won't force himself on us. He will cause us to have trials, make us wish we had yielded. And that happens too, doesn't it? And I'm speaking from knowledge of my own, things that have happened in my life. But if we will totally surrender to the Lord and let him do his good work, he's doing a good work in us. He's changing us all the time. And one of these days that trumpet's going to sound. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm looking for it anytime. I praise him. And our dear brother that went to be with the Lord this day or two ago, you can't even imagine what he's seeing. Oh, my goodness. He lay around saying, "Lord, I want to go home. I want to go to be with Jesus." I know he told me that. "I want to go." Well, he got his wish. Praise the Lord. And we're going to miss him. But praise God for all that he does and allows. He's a good God. He isn't a meanie. He's a good God. Praise the Lord.